Hi.
Hi.
Sorry. Oh, good. Yeah, of course. Do you want to sit up here? Good morning. Good morning to everybody. Sorry to stop your lively chatter. That's important too. I think that's wonderful. I know I'm not on. I'm just going to talk. So, is it on? Turn it on. Yeah. Maybe plug it in. There. It's on now. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the service. It's good to hear your lively chatter. That's all part of coming together, and it's a good sound. So welcome here. We'd like to begin by singing in your hymnal number one. What is this place? What is this place? Why do we gather here in this building? Let's stand and we'll sing verses 1 and 2 in your hymnal.
Thank you.
Yes, I want to welcome you again, and I won't get you to get up and say hi to everybody again because you just sat down, but I'm glad you are here. You greeted each other, you sat beside people and greeted them, and may you feel God's love in this place and feel God's spirit in this next hour as we worship together. We want to especially welcome Jeanette Hansen here today. She's no stranger to a lot of us. I think we all know her, Val's sister. She'll be sharing with us later in the service stories, I'm sure, about her many travels and people she has met in different countries. And I think probably challenge us, because she usually does that, and challenge us to live anew in our lives to help build God's kingdom. So we're looking forward to that that message later. If you could take your call to worship, your hymnal, and turn to 662, join me in the call to worship. 662. Come, let us worship, for we are the people of God's pasture. Come, let us worship and bow down, for we are the sheep of God's hand. Come, let us worship and bow down before the Lord our Maker, for the Lord is our God, and God desires our worship. Let us pray. O God, we come seeking you in our worship today. We come to you for truth, because we are untrue. We come to you for strength, because we are weak. We come to you for wisdom, because we are unwise. Move in our midst, show us your truth, your strength, and your wisdom. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us praise God now through song, by turning in your hymnal to 107. Blessed Savior, we adore thee. 107. And we'll stand and sing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Thank you for that singing. Turn now to number 76, Praise, I Will Praise You, Lord. Another praise song. 76. Hank is waiting. We'll bring the offering up and give the offering blessing. Thank you. Let us pray. O God, our offerings proclaim that work and worship are one. Thank you for the many gifts you give us. Use these financial gifts for the work of your church's ministries of reconciliation and service. Amen. We'd like to pray together the prayer on the back of your bulletin. It's the Lord's Prayer, but there's a bit fleshed out for us to focus our minds on what the prayer really means for us. Join me in the italics, please. God of all creation and transformation, thank you for your love and care for us. In this stretching season when much feels uncertain and sad, we remember that our hope is in you. When our own words fail, when we become blinded by our own concerns and needs, we turn to the words that Jesus taught us, praying, Our loving parent God, Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We desire to see your reign, your justice, and your transformation in all places. Open our eyes, our hearts, and our minds to this work, to join with, to bear witness, and to testify to your good news made known. Give us this day our daily bread. We lift before you our needs for daily survival. We lift those in need of your healing touch. May we not hoard or worry, but trust in your provision of enough for each circumstance. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We confess our transgressions to you, Lord. We release the grudges and unforgiveness in our hearts by the power of your Spirit. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We'd like to sing the song Gentle Shepherd, song number 352. 352, Gentle Shepherd. Let's stand, please. So when I heard what Jeanette was going to be speaking of, the song that came to my mind was Living Stones, and I thought, where is that song? And then I found it, and I realized, oh, Ken and I had actually sung this a long time ago. He asked me to sing it with him, so now I asked him to sing it with me. So the chorus is, living stones, to build up the kingdom, living stones.
I'm reading today from the New International Version, John 6, verses 1 to 14. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is come into the world."
Good morning. It's always good to be with you here, and I was pleased when Lois wrote and asked if I would come this summer. And I also want to bring greetings from Mennonite Church Canada, a family of faith that is worshiping with you together this morning in over 200 congregations. And this strong and diverse family of faith worships in almost 20 different languages across Canada. We do have a lot to learn from each other and from our global family of faith. It was good to join online with Mennonite World Conference as people gathered in Indonesia. And we have other opportunities to do this. On September the 16th, there will be an online prayer hour with Mennonite World Conference. And you can join from your home. Go to the Mennonite World Conference website, and it shows you how to link in, and you'll be praying with your Mennonite brothers and sisters from around the world. If this pandemic has taught us one thing, it should be that we are connected to each other. Something we as followers of Jesus know, but we need to be reminded of. You here at Zion know this very well. In your longstanding ministry in China and many places around the world. And another opportunity for you to connect with your global connections is through the Mennonite Church Canada Witness International Witness Sunday, which we're planning for October the 16th. There's going to be resources online that you can use to celebrate our international connections. You are connected through ministry in 15 different countries around the world. And although we only have Canadians working in 5 of those countries, what is happening in those rest of those countries is also very significant and part of who you are and what you are doing around the world. As we look at sharing gifts and building relationships with our brothers and sisters around the world, we are giving and receiving gifts. We share what God has given us, just as you have been doing for many years. Now, when I wrote to Lois about my theme of sharing gifts, I also was typing faster than I was thinking, and so I wrote, "Who is in your hands?" Now, I'm really surprised Lois didn't call me on that, because I'm sure she would have had a few funny things to say about who is in your hands. I meant to write, "What is in your hands?" Because I want to talk a little bit about sharing gifts around the world. So to illustrate this, I've chosen this story that was just read about the loaves and fishes. This was a favorite Sunday school story of mine. I was probably more attracted to the idea of a picnic than anything else. I love picnics. I've never get enough of them in our short summer. And so I think that's maybe why. Also, this idea of miracle of multiplying food. The pictures in the Sunday school material that I had as a child often emphasized the boy giving up his lunch. I've seen a couple of other pictures or paintings of this story. There's a French artist from the 18th century who has chosen to depict this scene from much, much further away than my Sunday school books did. In fact, he shows the entire hillside, mountainside, and all the people. It really shows how big this crowd was. In fact, it looks a little bit like one of those Where's Waldo pictures, where there's all the people, and then you see, oh, I think that one there, that must be Jesus in the crowd. And you see the disciples, those few little disciples, handing out food to that enormous crowd. It really shows how minuscule that gift of 5 loaves and 2 fish must have seemed. Another painting I've seen of this scene that has challenged me is from a 15th century Venetian artist. He's depicted this scene using a crowd of what appears to be the lords and ladies of the Venetian court, dressed in jewels and silks and lounging around on the grass while Jesus takes the bread from the boy and blesses it. This picture is interesting for me because I've contemplated it from my viewpoint as a wealthy North American. What does that picnic look like if, from my perspective, from a wealthy perspective? In John's Gospel, this story is placed later in Jesus' ministry. It's nearing the time of Passover, and people have been responding to the healing that Jesus has been doing and the teaching he has been giving, and they're following him, even across the lake and into the wilderness. People are giving up a day's labor, perhaps closing shops, leaving families, packing them up or bringing them along, just so they can be near Jesus. His popularity has risen quickly, and the disciples seem a little bit overwhelmed by it. And then Jesus throws this twist at them. Where are you going to get bread for all these people? We've led them across the lake, away from markets and shops. So now what are you going to do? First of all, this story is a story of God's provision in a time of need. For many of us, middle-class Canadians, perhaps we don't have a lot of stories like this to share. Some of you may. A miracle that God provides bread for us when we are in need. But maybe all of us have a story like that to share. Maybe it wasn't bread, but maybe it was something that we desperately needed at that time. Maybe it was a visit from a friend, a warm conversation. We need to look for places where God is providing for our needs on a daily basis and to tell those stories. This story shows Jesus as the provider and the sustainer of life. This is also a story of a miracle, of food multiplying, and this really is a miraculous thing. And I would say that seeds do this all the time. This miracle of creation, crops growing, gardens producing bounty, the multiplication of loaves and fishes is the same miracle that you're seeing around you these days, especially as harvest begins. Now, it's a little sped up, but it shows Jesus as the Lord of the earth, the Lord of all creation. And thirdly, this story has become to mean another thing to me that has become quite important, because unlike other miracles where Jesus asked people to come to him or they came to him with a request, this time he asks the disciples, how are you going to feed these people? Now, Philip responds immediately, good luck getting food to all these people out here, especially, and without the money that we need. Andrew brings the little boy, and he seems a little bit embarrassed to be even offering this small amount of food. I wish we'd been told in the scriptures why the boy wanted to offer his lunch. Did he hear the disciples and Jesus talking and thought this might help? Or did he just want to offer this to Jesus because he'd been teaching and he might need a little lunch? Was the boy a little surprised when Jesus began to hand his lunch out to the entire crowd? Now, as Jesus blesses the food, something happens. You see, while I believe that Jesus is Lord of creation and food multiplication is in his power, as we can see, as I mentioned, in the gardens and the fields around us, I think Jesus was doing something different here. Because Jesus is not only Lord of creation, Jesus is the healer and the changer of hearts. When those 5,000 people left home that morning to follow Jesus, some probably wouldn't have been prepared to be out all day. They just followed the crowd. Maybe some weren't worried about crossing the lake to the other side without preparing for the journey. But I suspect that many, like the boy's mother who packed him that lunch, many people would have been prepared. So when the boy offered his lunch, where were the others that had lunch? In their bags, in their pockets, in their cloaks? Where was their lunch? Were they so worried about taking care of themselves, so worried about their own survival, that they were hiding their lunches? But in the presence of Jesus, this self-protection no longer was important. In the presence of Jesus, as he blessed the food and the disciples began handing it out, that hidden food began to appear. That hidden food that was saved and hoarded began to be shared. A loaf here, a fish there, or two, or three, until everyone in that enormous crowd was fed and there were 12 baskets of food left over. Jesus changed their hearts from a focus on self-protection and greed to a focus on giving and community. This is a miracle of enormous proportion. Changing hearts and changing lives. In the 1990s, when we were working on small poverty alleviation projects in rural China, I had a government official ask me, where did the money come from that you use for these programs? And I talked about congregations like yours, who gave, who held suppers and bake sales and fundraisers, who encouraged giving by individuals. And this Chinese government official was really surprised. He said, "I can't get communists to do that. How do you get capitalists to do that?" I laughed. I said, "Well, you haven't met Jesus. That's who changes people's hearts and gives them joy in giving." This miracle is clearly shown in the feeding of the 5,000. When Moses was confronted by God in the wilderness and told to go back to Egypt to lead his people, Moses said that he couldn't. "No one will follow me." God asked him, "What is in your hands?" And he said, "Just a staff." And God used that. It's the same question that Jesus asked the disciples. What is in your hands? How will you feed the multitude and provide bread for the people to eat? And the answer of what's in your hands was 5 loaves, 2 fishes. It may not look like much, but God can do miracles. I would suggest that God has already given us everything we need to feed the hungry, to bless our community, and to share with our brothers and sisters. We just need to use it, and God will bless it and multiply it. This question of what is in your hands is a question that's asked by church leadership in the Friends of Grace Church Network in Thailand. Mennonite Church Canada witness workers Tom and Christine Puvong provide leadership for this network of more than 50 worshiping groups. And the answers that these groups give are all different. In the Thai province of Pra, the answer to the question of what is in your hands was bamboo. This is a low-income village in northern Thailand, and many people are leaving the village, and the care of the children is being left to grandparents as the community was starting to splinter. But bamboo, that's all they had. It grows quickly in this mountainous area, and they sold it for a low price. But when one of these Jesus-following centers, as they call themselves, decided they wanted to bless their community, they opened a cottage industry and began using bamboo and making a value-added product, chopsticks, bamboo skewers for cooking, and they were able to provide employment and stable income for several families in their community. Not only that, this cottage industry, which is really just a cement floor and a roof with open walls around this family's home, has become a space for the community, a gift to the community, a community center, a worship center, a place where people can come and be welcomed and accepted. There are other places in the world where this is lived out. In China, in a difficult time of increasing government pressure on the church, lack of safety and real risk in connecting with other believers in different parts of the country, much less connecting with foreigners, there is now a group of Chinese believers and church leaders connecting with each other and excited about Anabaptist teaching. What is in your hands? They would answer, a new way of looking at the gospel. Stories of Anabaptist martyrs, stories that we knew growing up, but that are taking on a new meaning in a country where they can't depend on a Christian government or a Christian country. A perspective of faith that's a huge gift to the Chinese church at this time in their history when pressure from and suspicion by the government is growing. A perspective that emphasizes discipleship, faithful living, and service is a gift to them that they can share with others. In the Philippines, Lacan and Lacambini, which are the indigenous names of witness workers Dan and Joji Pantoja, they are training peace and reconciliation teams in principles of peace theology in the island of Mindanao. The island of Mindanao formerly was known as a place of violence, but it was also a place of economic injustice, as many groups had been pushed up into the mountains and off their farmland, and they had responded with violence. What is in your hands? Joji found coffee. Coffee that was being poorly produced with unsustainable methods and being sold for poor prices. And Joji thought, coffee is a drink that brings us together in many ways. Why not use this as a tool for peace? And Coffee for Peace was born, where high-quality coffee production and sustainable agriculture is taught alongside the principles of peace and reconciliation. It's making huge differences in the communities in Mindanao. In Japan, there are small Mennonite congregations that are aging, relying on lay leadership, and if you ask them, what is in your hands, they might say, not much. But we have an old building in need of repair and upgrading that's called the Tokyo Anabaptist Center. And instead of selling it off and making money on the very expensive real estate in Tokyo, they decided to keep it. Sometimes they wonder if it's a blessing or not, but they have a new vision based on, we have this building, how can this be a blessing to our community, and how can it strengthen our churches? They have a new vision of creating space for people to gather and study, to open it into the community to provide meals and a safe space for children in the community and those living with homelessness. It's a place for exchange and lodging for youth who come from the countryside to go to university in Tokyo. They have called Gerald and Rhea Neufeld, former Canadian witness workers, to work with them again and to make connections to the broader church, both in Canada and other parts of Asia. Back in Thailand, in a congregation in Cha Am, south of Bangkok, when asked, "What is in your hands?" they said, "We have a piece of land. It was inherited by one of the members of our congregation." And so they are using it as a space for loving their community. And because in Thailand, building materials often are fairly simple, they just threw up a couple of new houses on that piece of land, and they invited families who were living on the street to join them, to live with them, to find community together. And as they did, they found that the father in one of these families is a very gifted farm manager who is now working with them to produce organic farm products. And the mother in that family works in the church kitchen. Well, it used to be a church kitchen, but now they've invited another woman who was struggling with addictions to come and live in the community as she is healing, and they found out she's a chef. And so the church kitchen turned into a community restaurant. It's open from Monday to Saturday, and on Sunday they close the doors to the road, and they open the doors to the church side, and then everyone is welcome for free meals in the church kitchen. It is a space for community, for reaching out, and for blessing their congregation. But you know, you don't really have to go that far away from home to find people who are looking at what is in your hands and using it. I have watched from afar, as many of you here in this congregation have looked at Elam, at your camp. And you know, the vision for that camp has been changing. It was built as a camp for Mennonite children, and you are using it as a Mennonite camp for children. You are opening and blessing your community, giving gifts that God has given you to the blessing of your wider community. That's what this is all about. It's about looking at what God has given you. Everything we have belongs to God and is for God's use. And together we can mobilize God's resources to do God's work in the world. We give and receive these gifts, some of them physical, some of them spiritual, across borders and boundaries that are man-made, because we are one body in Christ. So, what is in your hands? What has God given you? What has God given your congregation to use to bless your community and to strengthen the body of Christ?
Thank you, Jeanette, for those words of challenge. Thank you for those wonderful stories and experiences that you always share with us. I will always look at that Bible story now with a new perspective. That's awesome. I think we can really learn from that. And let us respond by singing Sing the Journey 63. Lord, you give the Great Commission. 63, verses 1, 2, and 5. Let's stand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let us remember the potluck after lunch. You're welcome to stay and visit some more, and I think Jeanette is staying as well. So let us bow for the benediction. Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say this week. Amen. Let us go from here and sing the song and have it in our minds and hearts. 226, you are the salt for the earth. 226.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.